Blog Talk Radio.
Neither faint nor is weary.
Hello, Sister Leola, can you hear me? Hello, can anybody hear me? Hello? Hello? Sister Leola, I can't hear anything. Hello, hello? Hello, can anyone hear me? I have a bad connection. I cannot hear anything. So I'm going to hang up and call back. Thank you. God bless.
My line is not open. There we go. It's open. Amen, amen. I'm sorry about that. My computer wasn't getting good connection. Now I believe you all can hear me. Let me open up, brother. 518-744. I'm sorry. I had connection. I had to reboot my computer. So, brother Rick, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, okay. Praise God. Amen, amen. So, brothers and sisters, brother Rick will read a scripture. And the question is, where does knowledge come from? And also, who gives knowledge? Brother Rick will read the first scripture, Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 through 23. Brother Rick can read. Amen?
Amen. Okay. Daniel 2, 21 through 23 says that he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter.
Amen. And Brother Rick got one more scripture to read. That's Isaiah 48 and 17 and 18, Brother Rick. One more scripture.
Okay, Isaiah 48.
And 17 and 18.
Real quick. 17 and 18. Okay, just about there. Here we go. There we go. 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Amen.
Amen, amen. As Brother Rick was reading that scripture, brothers and sisters, we are learning where knowledge comes from. And all the knowledge, as Daniel spoke about, it comes from God, because as he was in that dream and he spoke of God, telling us that God gave him that knowledge to understand that dream. So we thank you, Brother Rick, for reading about knowledge and wisdom. Now, Sister Katie has a scripture that she will bring to us. Amen. Let me open her line. And we just want to thank Brother Rick once again. And we're going to come back and we can open your line for your share. So, Sister Katie, if you can share your scripture. 804.
Can you hear me?
Amen. Can hear you.
If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly.
Amen, amen. We know that God is so good, and we know that he is the one that lay wisdom, and that when we get wisdom, he say, get also understanding. So sisters and brothers, when I thought about that, you know how much wisdom God has given to us to understand this mark of the beast, this Sunday law. And we see these things are coming to pass. So many people are speaking of these things. So I'm sure Brother Akeem is going to be bringing us some more of this revelation tonight. So please be attentive, and we're going to hear some more powerful words. So now we're going to begin to open the line. And brothers and sisters, we got hands up. I saw Sister Barnaby's hands up first. So I'm going to open her line, and sisters and brothers, I'm going to get to you as soon as possible. I'm asking that everybody be brief so we can give, my computer is, give me just a second. Lord, just let this, okay, can you hear me now, Sister Barnaby?
Yes, hello, good night. Thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I live in Albany, New York. And thank you for opening my line. God is good. Today was a good day. I just want to praise God for his keeping care and for his tender mercy, for all the things he has been doing in my life. I need special prayer, both for me, my children, and my children, my brothers, and my sisters, and my grandchildren. Oh, God, I would
amen.
Like to sing a song.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Sister Barnaby. I thought you were finished. Go ahead, because I was going to pray. We was going to pray for your family. You said you need special prayer. Go ahead, Sister Barnaby.
I rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I rather be his than a riches untold. I rather have Jesus than houses and land. I rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of the vast domain or be held in sin that slay. I rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I rather have Jesus than men's applause. I rather be faithful to his dear cause. I rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name and King of the vast domain, our beheading sin, blood sweat. I rather of Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than the lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of the vast domain, than be held in sin, but sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And I'm going to read Matthew 16, verse 26. Matthew 16, verse 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you, Lord. I rather have you than housing and land. I rather have you, Lord, than anything this world affords today, because there's nothing in this world but sin, shame, and disgrace. So, Lord, I thank you for your keeping care and for your tender mercy. Thank you for what you have been doing for me, oh God. I'm not worthy, Lord, but I know that you love me and you care for me. And you died to save me, oh God. You is a God who cares. You will never leave me and you will never forsake me. Always be near me to hear me when I cry. Please, God, wash me and cleanse me. Forgive me of my sins. Hold me and fashion me into your likeness, make me into what you want me to be. I put my children, my grandchildren, my brothers and my sisters, and all of us on this prayer line, along with our families, into your hand tonight. God, you see our need. Please consecrate us. Please mold us and fashion us into your likeness, oh God. Forgive us of our sins. We are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good. But God, because of your grace and your mercy, we are not consumed, because your compassion fail not. It is due every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So thank you for everything you have been doing, Lord, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. You're a God of mercy. You're a God of love. You're a God of truth. Oh, God, you know everything about us, Lord. We are not doing the things we are to do, but, oh, God, only you alone can turn us around and help us to do the right thing, Jesus. We are nothing on our own. We can do nothing on our own. We are like a ship without a sail. Lord, we need you more and more in our life every day. So please, God, consecrate us and pull us closer and closer to you. Help us to forget about everything in this life and to look to you, God, to lift our mind heavenward so that you can save us, because your coming is near and we want to be saved, oh God. Go home to live between ceaseless ages of eternity. Lord, we are tired of living in this sin-cursed world. Sin, shame, and disgrace, no nothing good. But, oh God, we love you, Lord, and you love us. So please, do for us, dear God, what we cannot do for ourselves. We are longing to be with you in paradise, to live with you in paradise, oh God, and to be one with you every day, seeking to love and to care and to think about nothing but love, joy, peace, happiness, oh God. Heavenly Father, continue to bless all of us, Lord, and give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Jesus, to do the things that we are to do. Lord, we love you and we know you love us. So, God, keep us safe, oh God. Keep us from accident. Keep us from danger. Keep us from evil hands and evil angels. Cover us under your blood. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness. Forgive us of our sins, O God. Heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Open shelter for the homeless. Freely you receive and freely you give. Thank you for everything I pray, and I give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for the prayer. And the song, I'd rather have Jesus more than silver and gold or anything in the world. I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, once again. I was on, my computer was having a little thing. I have to reboot it so it can get the internet. So I just want to thank you for coming back once again. But I will open this line, brothers and sisters, and now we're going to have to be a little brief so everybody can get a chance to be able to share, because I got hands up. So we got 319-895. Your line is open. Oh, now you know my computer.
Good night, Celiola.
Okay,
good night,
I can hear you.
Celiola.
Amen.
Good night, my
Amen.
Brothers and
good
sisters.
Night.
Advent Life Prayer Line. It's been a while I've not been on the line, but I thank God I'll be able to come back tonight and to share. And I have with me Sister Martin, one of my mother in Zion. She's here, and she's going to read a quote for us from the book, Christ Object Lesson, page 251, paragraph 1.
Read it now. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:50. None can justify an unforgiving spirit. He who is unmerciful toward others shows that he himself is not a partaker of God's pardoning grief. In God's forgiveness, the heart of everyone is drawn close to the great of infinite love. The tide of divine compassion flows into the sinner's soul and from him, soul of others. The tenderness and mercy that Christ has revealed in his own precious life will be seen in those who become sharers of his grace. But if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of it. He is alienated from God, fitted only for eternal separation from him. It is true that he may once have received forgiveness, but his unmerciful spirit shows that he now rejects God's pardoning love. He has separated himself from God, denying his repentance, and sins are upon him as if he has not repented. But the great lesson of the parable lies in the contrast between God's compassion and man's hard-heartedness, in the fact that God's forgiving mercy is to be the measure of our own. Should this not, thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? We are not to be forgive, but we forgive the ground of all forgiveness is found in the unmerited love of God. But by our attitude towards others, we show whether we have made that love our own. Wherefore, Christ says, with what judgment he judged, he shall be judged. And with what measure he meets, it shall be measured to you again. Yes. And again with Matthew 17.
Amen. I want to thank God.
Amen.
As I shared that message yesterday pertaining to forgiveness, reconciled to God and our fellow man. That was the message for the afternoon yesterday. And God was speaking to each and every one of us. The majority of people are suffering from so many illness. It's based on unforgiving spirit. And unforgiveness causes inflammation in the body. And it deadens the flow of the circulation of the blood. But when somebody has forgiven someone, it brings relief. It brings sinews to the body and make the blood start to run properly. So God is saying to us that we should reconcile to him and to our fellow men. Told me that this was the message that God wanted them to hear, because they were harboring unforgiveness not forgive men, as the scripture says to us, the Lord's Prayer, of their trespasses. Forgive our debts and all these things. It brings relief to the body, and it enables us to live our life of peace. When we have unforgiving spirit, we do not live a peaceful life. So if we have accepted the righteousness of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ, then should have that same spirit to dispense it to anyone whom we come in contact with. So I want to thank God for that word that has been shared on the line today. And I'm going to share a testimony. We have a project right now that we are working on to minister to the needs in Africa. And the request from one of the ministry there in Africa, they need Bibles. And the goal is to provide over 2,000 Bibles to these people in Africa. We have started through our personal efforts and through other help to get Bibles. Orphanage or orphans. This pastor was a Sunday pastor, and he got committed to the Sabbath, and he have a lot of churches that he was a part of, and all of those churches converted to worshiping on the Lord. And he wanted a place to house young people, who are orphans. And they get help. Many of the people here helped to build a dorm and build kitchen and all that, a facility. We are successfully build that facility and help children have lost their parents from 0 up to 17 years old. And many of these students leave that place and become self-reliant and was able to come back to help out in the those who are in the same position that they were in. But now they're requesting for some Bibles so that they could help the community and to help the young people to have a Bible of their own. And many of us, we have so many Bibles in our own. And somebody came on the other day, was talking about the crisis that is in Kenya and how a lot of witch and all of those stuff are in the country, demon spiritualism. And they said the gift that you can give to people in Kenya is Bibles. Afterwards when we started that project of getting over 2,000 Bibles to those people in Kenya. So we have started that project, and we have sent a shipment of over 300 Bibles so far. And we are working on to get more Bibles. But something significantly happened yesterday, as I told the Virgin, that God is going to provide his will. He will pay the bill. And yesterday I went to a store, but I was in my car for a while, and I was sitting in my car because a long day for me yesterday. I did 3 presentations. I did the sermon. I did the Bible studies in the afternoon, and then in the night I had a presentation to do on Livingston SDA Church prayer line, half night prayer. And I was the one that supposed to present and close off. And I was the one that closed off on Revelation 18. That was the topic that we were looking at the three angels connected with the loud cry message. And I did the loud cry message. And while I was there in the corner store to just get a few items, sitting in the car, relaxing myself a bit, and a voice said, come out of the car. And I come out of the car. And a voice said, look down. And I look down. I see $100 bill right on the ground. And I said, God, this is for the Bible. God provided for so many. The Bible says God provides for his people so many ways. So this venture, I'm saying that this venture is of vast importance. These people need Bibles so they can understand. And on Sunday morning, the pastor came on Sunday morning on a prayer line. He was the one hosting the prayer line on Sunday morning. And he came on with the young people on the line to present. And all these young people was expounding on the word of God. It's amazing. So we see what the word of God can do. And if we get these Bibles into the hands of these young people, what a change can be wrought on that side of the vineyard. So that was my testimony that I share with us. And we plan to continue to support those who are in need of all this, of these means, especially the word of God, so that they can be able to understand the will of God. So that's what I appreciate tonight.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Brother O'Neill, that was a good testimony there. There, God bless.
And also,
and you don't know
what we do. We send the money to the pastor, and he send back the bill to us because the Bible has to be in their language, because many of them don't speak English. So the Bible has to be in their language. So we took Bible from there for them, because to ship Bible down there, it's a big hassle. And they charge a lot of custom and all of that. So we allow them to source the Bible there. And they always send the bills to us of what has been done. So this is a venture that I partake in so that we can help a lot of young people out there, homeless.
Amen.
And the pastor uses land. He uses land. Remember, it wasn't at an SDA, but he accepted the Adventist message. And he uses land so that he can support these people. So we see that God is working in so many ways, because this work must
Amen.
Be finished.
Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for bringing your testimony and just sharing the scripture about forgiveness. And we do know if we don't forgive, then how God's going to forgive us. So thank you for sharing all that. And we got quite a few hands up, and I want to get a chance to open their line so they can give their request. So we thank you once again for bringing your spiritual mother here on the prayer line. Also for reading, let her know. Don't let this be the last time. It may be the first time, but my sister, my friend, you are welcome back on this prayer line. And we just want to tell all our brothers and sisters, you all are welcome. And we are so glad to have you here on the prayer line with us. And if you would press 1, your line could be open. But we're going to open this line so we can give our sisters and brothers a chance to be able to ask for a request for prayers. So we need to be brief now because we got 4 or 5 of us. Amen. 843-6206, your line is open.
Amen. Sister Leola, this is Sister Tymeko from Florida. Thank you so much for opening my line. I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and glory because he's an awesome God. He's a mighty God, and he takes good care of his children. So I am just so grateful, and he is worthy to be praised. I bless his holy name, and I magnify his great and holy name for taking good care of myself and my family. And I ask for special prayers as well for my family, because as you know, the enemy walks about like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I heard you mention about wisdom. How do we get wisdom? So I found scripture here in the book of Proverbs I'd like to share. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from your words of your mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7 says, wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So I just wanted to share, because I heard you mention about the wisdom, and I had a scripture in Psalms 100 that I wanted to share. I know I'm not going to have time to sing because I know you have a lot of people on the line, but the Psalms 100 is so wonderful psalm. I love the psalm, and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Verse 5 says, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So praise the Lord. We have the Lord on our side, and we know that he loves us all. with an everlasting love, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So I just wanted to share that with my beloved brothers and sisters on the line. And I'm lifting up the Event Life prayer line, praying for each and every one of my brothers and sisters on here tonight, thanking you and thanking the Lord for all that he has done for me. Thank you for praying for me too, Sister Leola, and all of my beloved sisters and brothers praying for me. I thank you so much. So God bless you. Love you all, always and forever. God's blessings. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen. And Sister Tamika, thank you so much for reading that scripture. And truly, God is allowing us to read his scriptures. And as Sister Katie has read, she said, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, thou shalt understand and fear the Lord. I'm not going to go to the rest, but we got to keep searching. We got to keep that fear of God before us. And because it's all the wisdom and knowledge he's given to us, sisters and brothers. So I just thank you for coming on and sharing with us. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for it. The word, the scriptures. Amen. So we're going to open this next line, 985-209. Your line is open. You can give us your name, where you're calling from. 985-209. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Miss Phyllis Williams, and I'm from Houma, Louisiana. And I pray for y'all and hope y'all pray for me. And I'm going to sing this song. And God is our Father, and he loves us all. He will provide all that we need and all that we have. He gave his son one day to die for our sins. Lord, show me the way. Teach me to take one day at a time, one day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Show me the way, teach me to take one day at a time. And I'm going to end it right there because I know everybody else got to say something. And I just thank the Lord for just waking me up this morning and praying for everybody. And I thank the Lord for what he's doing on this prayer line. And I have joy when I get on here. Say to all my sisters and brothers, pray for me, and I'm praying for y'all. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
What a blessing it is. What a blessing. I just want to thank God for those words, because it is nothing that we can do of ourselves, but it's surely the Lord and his will. So thank you, Sister Phyllis, for your kind words, and that it's always, always, we're going to lift you and your family up in prayer. So God bless. And please be patient, brothers and sisters. I'm going to open the next line, and that's 985-232. We're opening your line, and we're going to get to our next one. Amen. Give it just a second. Let me. Sometime it. Okay, 985-232, your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his mercy. Thank him for watching over us and waking us up. I want to thank Brother O'Neill and his mother, I believe, for that the beautiful message that for that message they brought out. It was a very touching message. And I know it hit me. So I just want to thank God. And I'm always thanking, praising God and repenting and asking him to forgive us for our sins, because I know that's the only way we can get in of forgiving people, repenting, and talking to the Lord to forgive us of all that. And especially when the racking of all the sickness going through your body, you know, you have to constantly pray and be in prayer, because that's the only person can bring you through. So I want to read a prayer. Dear God, we have chosen to follow you and make necessary changes as we share our walk. We will listen and obey when given direction regarding your plan. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So we need God in the plan to do all of this, because we can't do it by ourselves. So we got to pray God be in our plan as we need this help for this walk. And we thank him for all his messages to give us to go by. And I just want to ask for prayer for Advent prayer line, all the brothers and sisters on and off this prayer line. And pray for all the missionary work they have all over. We just want to pray for all the sick, the nursing home, the hospital, those under the bridge, and all those wherever they may be. And just keep us, my family, in prayer. And just keep everyone in prayer. And God bless each and every one. Amen. That'll be it.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Brenda. My computer be whining in a little bit. It takes a second, but thanks God, he's working it out. And we're going to go to the next line. So we will lift up Brother John. I know Brother John is not here but I know he's definitely is on the mind. He always on our mind, and we will lift him up in prayer. So we will pray for him. We know he's there. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line up, 518-951. Your line is open. Amen. Give me just a second. Amen. 518-951. Your line is open. You can give us where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Lilo, for calling for opening my line. I'm Sister Powell calling from Kingston, Jamaica. I just want to give God thanks and praise for everything. Thank God for those wonderful words of encouraging by song, Sister Phillips, and, you know, also from Brother O'Neill, and the reading and also the prayer. God is so good, and it is good for us, as the Lord said, forgiveness. If we know we have a knot with our brothers and sisters, first we have to go to them and confess to them and also forgive them. And if we do not do that, our prayer won't be answered. So we know that forgiveness comes from God, and only God can allow us to forgive our brothers and our sisters if we are naughted. I just want to share some blessings that really I've experienced today. I went to a funeral, one of my family members, and it was a funeral service at our church. And I am telling you, it was so, it did not really look like a funeral service. It looked like a church natural service, because every person who went up, you know, and to give their tribute is calling upon, you know, the individual there. Jesus is coming soon. Please to make it right that when he comes, he will find you. When he comes, you will have that assurance that you will be living with him. So So I just give God thanks and praise. And I was saying the other day that there is men, all the men, them, we find that women mostly in the church doing activities, and where is the men? But my dear brothers and sisters on this line, if you heard these men came up to sing, you know, sing songs of praise, and I just want to say, I just have to say, I was in a service that just looking forward to heaven, the way in which the men them sang. And I just pray, want prayer for these men, because they have the voice to sing, and they are really look like they are soldier for God. And I pray, I just pray that, you know what, these men that who sat down in the church, maybe sit down and not doing anything, that they will follow those men example, that they can give praises to God. God is so good. God is so great. He's worthy to be praised. I must say I'm doing well in the island here. We have a good weather, you know, sunshine today. And also we are still doing our project, our outreach project, in the clothes giveaway, in the food distribution, and also in the building with Rosie project. And it has been going on good. She has been blessed this week. We got a load of sun, a big load of sun. And there is some promises with some other thing. So we just pray that God will continue to pour out his blessing so that one day soon and very soon, you know, that place will be completed. I heard from Lily Ricardo this evening where the guardian, Sophia, is saying that he couldn't go to school because she cannot find the funds. But you know what? I tell her God will provide. He will make a way so that you will be able to send that little boy to school. So continue to pray for us and pray for the project then, and also to pray for our churches and our youth and our older siblings, our older, our adults them, you know, especially those who are in the nursing home. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And I just give God thanks and praise.
Praise God, praise God. So good hearing from you, because I hadn't seen you in about a couple of days. So God is so good. Listen, Sister Powell, we got quite a few. The line is pretty full. We have some requests. Will you lift up some prayers for me? If you could lift up, let me give you the name. We have some special requests. You can Sister Barnaby and her family, Brother Rick and his family. We have Sister Katie and her family, Sister Phyllis, their family, Sister Tamiko, Sister Brenda, all these in family, Brother O'Neill. And Brother O'Neill had his spiritual mother on. I forget. I asked the name twice, and I almost said Martha, but it's not Martha. But I forget her name, but that's Brother O'Neill's spiritual mother also. So if you can lift up in prayer, and myself and my husband, and we got others on the prayer line that have not pressed one, so please lift them up in prayer also. Prayer line too, because we had many people on this prayer line that you, if you don't mind, could lift them up. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. You can go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Yes, my dear beloved, now is the time that each and every one of us can play a part in our prayers. We are lifting up these requests to the Most Holy Father who is in the heavenly sanctuary. Please, I will give you a chance that you can bow to. And you can just whisper a little word to the Lord. He's willing and ready to hear us. And then I will just offer the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy wonderful name. Father in heaven, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. We, your children, come before you. Nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to the cross we cling. We, your children, come before you, confessing all our sins, and allow these sins, as you told us in your word, you will take them and show them in the deepest part of the ocean. So we just want to thank you this evening, Lord, that our sins are all forgiven. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that your words are telling us if we are at naught with our brothers and sisters, we must go to them and make it right. Because if we do not do that, our prayers won't be answered. So, Heavenly Father, this evening, your children come before you to let you know, dear Lord, we confess everything and we go to our brothers and our sisters in our heart and lift them up to you, asking forgiveness of everything that we have done. We want to thank you for this line, Lord. We want to thank you for each brothers and sisters and children, sons and daughters and grandchildren, Lord, who came on this line night after night, presenting their requests to you in songs, in scripture reading, and in praise and thankfulness for what you have done. Because we know with you it is impossible for us to do anything at all. It is impossible for us to come to you. It is impossible for us to walk. It is impossible for us that we can say that our Father provide for us, because he told us he will provide for the birds in the ear, that's his children who he loves so much. So we thank you for providing. We thank you for clothing. We thank you for housing. We thank you for your words. We thank you for our brothers and our sisters on this land. And we thank you, Lord, that we can commune together this evening, dear Lord, as we come boldly to the throne, presenting, Lord, every member on this land. Father, you know them by name and nature, and also our family members. We present Sister Katie, Lord Dominique, and her Dominique's children, and Sister Katie's grandchildren, and also the baby mother. Dear Lord, you know the desire of their heart. You know what they need, especially, Lord, those two little precious jewels that you have given unto us. We knew, Lord Jesus, that they were maybe premature, but dear Lord, you brought them out safely, and you carry them through, dear Lord. And despite of the trials and tribulation that they go through in sickness, they are still alive with us, dear Father. And we know that you have heard Sister Katie prior. We know that you have heard of the Advent Light prior, organizing night upon night, dear Father, for those children and for Dominique and the mother and Sister Katie, for them to continue to have the faith and to believe that you are going to allow those precious jewels to come true and to be successful. So, Father, we just want to thank you for that miracle that you have worked, Lord, with that family. And we all here can testify, dear Lord, of what you have done for Sister Katie and that family. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for Sister Brenda and Brother John, what he has gone through, what Sister Brenda had gone through. Lord Jesus, all the sickness and the problems. Or Brother John was in coma, dear Father, for so many weeks. And we saw the miracle that you have worked, where you touch his body, dear Father, from that coma and raise him up, Lord, that he can be here with us, sharing the gospel message. We are changed, man, demonstrating your character, dear Lord. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Sister Brenda, and her children, the grandchildren. We heard that little grandbaby, dear Lord, who said she loved God and asking us to pray for her so that she will have more desire and that she will learn more about you. Father, we have been praying. We have been singing with these children from they were so small. Some of the time they were not paying attention. But, dear Lord, we say they wasn't paying attention. They were paying attention because they heard. And know, dear Lord, they can say what they have heard. And they can repeat, Lord, and ask for prayer. Father, continue to bless them. Continue to bless Sister Brenda's daughter and son and also our community. I lift them up to you. Father, we lift up Sister Phyllis and her family member. We thank you, Lord, that she came on, join us, and she's no stranger on this line. She's a family member on this line, dear Lord. Came on this line singing praises and giving glory to you for what you have done in her life. We ask you to provide, supply, and whatsoever her need, dear Lord, according to your riches. And we are asking you, Lord, to help, Lord. Have your own sweet way in our life, Lord. We lift up to you, Sister Barnaby, as she came on this line, Lord, as a mother on this line, singing, reading your scripture, praising God and lifting us up and more, Lord Jesus, a part of this fundraising and this project that we have, our supplies that she sent for the children. Lord, I just want to give her thanks, give you thanks and praise for using her on this line, that she's a big resource in helping this project and these children, the way in which she cares. And, Lord, I just want to let her know that these children enjoy the little goodies that she has sent for them. And, Lord, continue to bless her and her children and also her grandchildren, because her determination is to follow you, to serve you, and to do your will, Lord Jesus. So we just want to give you thanks for that. We lift up Sister Tamiko as she prayed for us, every one of us on Advent Light, Lord Jesus. I won't go into the names because you know every name of every one of us, Lord, and every family. And she lifts us up to you, asking you, Lord, for help, because if we don't need you, Lord, now is the time we need you, because the enemy is out like a roaring lion. Destroy and to devour, but in the name of Jesus, allow us that we will hold on you, Lord Jesus, and we will never let you go. Help us to be like Joseph, dear Father, to hold. I will not let you go until you bless us. We need the blessings from you, so that we will surrender everything for, and we will be there to share your word and to lead others to you. So we just want to thank you. We lift up Sister Leola and Brother Ray, Lord Jesus, to continue to bless, continue to keep. We thank you for safe traveling mercy from Alabama to Louisiana, dear Lord, and what you have done in their life, dear Lord, and what you are still doing, and the ministry that Brother Ray have, Lord, at his workplace, pointing all these workers to you. Father, Heavenly Father, continue to pour your blessing, Lord, that his message will reach these hearts, and those hearts will seek you, Lord. And also the commandment, Lord Jesus, that you have given unto us, that Sister Leola place on our car as an evangelism tool, where every eyes that on the road or who stop can see that, Lord Jesus, commandment, that it is standing and it is firm, and that is what we have to be abiding by, Lord. So we want to thank you for the evangelist advertisement that your daughter and your son, dear Father, had placed on that car. We lift up Brother O'Neill, Lord Jesus, and the prayer, Mom. Lord, we know that young man determined to follow you. And as he follow you daily, Lord, reaching out to Africa, reaching out to other parts of the world, New York, Lord, and always in these wonderful projects, Lord Jesus, in Washington, D.C., Maryland, in upstate New York, in Tennessee, and all over there where he got the opportunity. He's also there to present your health message, dear Father, which is the right arm of the gospel, and also sharing the books, them, dear Father, for this time. So we just want to thank you for that. And also his prayer, Mom. Lord, everywhere he goes, he has prayer, Mom, because he is beloved, and dear Father, he's been obedient to your will. And continue to bless him. Continue to keep him, provide for him, Lord. Strengthen him, dear Lord. Protect him, Lord Jesus, while he's driving to work, and allow him that he will be an inspiration to those who he works with. We also lift up our dear beloved brother Rick, Lord, and also his children, Lord. Father, you know everything about him, Lord, and his daughter, dear Father. He always pray for Jarvis, Lord, and
yes.
You know what, Lord? As we pray for these individuals, Lord, Jarvis and Brother Rick's daughter, dear Lord, you know everything about them, but dear, you have been keeping them safely despite of what, Lord, you are there with them and you hear our cry. And I know you're going to answer our prayer. So, Lord, help them that they will realize to know mommy, daddy, grandmother, granddaughter, grandson. We are praying for every one of our family members, dear Lord. And also Shiloh, Jephard, Jarvis, Lord Jesus, Juna, and Nicole, Lord, we have been praying for them. Sister Stephanie and KJ and Carja, Lord, you know everything. Thank you for traveling mercy for her. And also, Lord, the work that you have been allowing with her to do with the children, just like Nicole, dear Father, the educators, we lift them up to you, dear Lord. We also lift up all those who are on this line, Sister Carlo and her family members. Continue, Brother Ricardo. Lord, we lift up them, Brother Akeem James, Pastor Akeem James. We lift them up to you, Lord, Brother Richardson, and also Sister Richardson, dear Father. We lift up myself, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. I just want to thank you. I want to praise you and all the others, Lord, unspoken requests, Lord, and all the names, if I do not call them, because there are so many names, Brother Eli and his mother, and Jarvis and Anthony and Brother Shark and everyone, dear Lord, that he had presented. We present them to you tonight. And now, dear Lord, this is the names that you all have recorded. And we are asking you, Lord Jesus, to let your will be done. You are God. You are the creator. And we believe in you that you can do all things. Bless us tonight, and also we lift up the speaker, Brother Akeem James, to you. Keep him, guide him, present as he presents fresh bread from heaven. Allow us to enjoy, Lord Jesus, with your words so that we can go out and share your word to others and to show others love. Father, help us that wherever we go, that people will see your character within us, so that they will know that we have met you, Lord, and we are a child of the King, and we are your representative. We are your ambassador. We are your servant, so that we can present the message. Bless us, we pray. And if there is some names that I did not mention, I mention all the names on this line, dear Father. You know them. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Thank you, Sister Power, Mama Power, brothers and sisters, Mama Power and Mama Barnaby. I'm telling you, it is a great thing to have our elderly mothers on this prayer line, because, you know, I believe with all in my heart, God hears the prayers of our mothers. And, you know, when Noah, God found righteousness in Noah, Noah was right with God. And I believe all in my heart, God find that in my mothers. Because you know what? They're not looking to the world. They have lived the life. And all they seeking now is their Savior Jesus. And they are lifting up their children and everybody else, child. So, and they just take them in. And I know Sister Power, she got many from one part of the state to the other part of the state, Louisiana, Texas, everywhere. So we thank you for praying for us and just always in prayer for everyone. So I just want to thank the Lord for this. And now we're going to, Brother Akeem James will be joining us in just a second. And I'm just going to ask Sister Tamiko just to give us a short song. She wanted to sing a song. Let me see if she's ready. So, brothers and sisters, let us just see if she's ready to just give us a short song before Brother Akeem come on. Come on, Akeem. Hold on. My computer, it will go round and round. Give me just a second. Just take a second after I, there we go. Give me just a second. Let me open her line. Let me open her line. Sister Tamiko, you're there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Amen.
You can give us a song just before, Brother, the Touch the Heart of, you know, give us some praise. Amen. You have a song?
Amen. Oh, yes, I do. Just bear with me. I'm just turning to a song now. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. He yielded his life and atonement for sin. And open the life gates that all men go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus, the Son. I give him the glory, great things he has done.
Okay, Sister Tamiko.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Tamiko, we're going to make that the end because Brother Akeem may need the time. He's on now. Great things he has done, sisters and brothers. We're going to end
great
that song, and we're going to open the line. Thank you, Sister Tamiko. I just want you to give us a little short version. And we're going to open the line for Pastor, I always say, but Pastor Akeem. So, Pastor Akeem, your line is open, and God bless. We have offered the prayer for you, and now you are ready to go. Amen.
All right. Amen. 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 Thank you so much, and glad to be back on once again. And as we go into our subject today, we're going to be continuing with our understanding of Revelation chapter 11. We'll be skipping down to verse 15. We covered the 1,260-year prophecy. And so that will begin bringing us up as we go across history. We covered the time of the persecution. We've covered last week the subject of the French Revolution and the persecution of the Word of God that continued under that revolution not only was the word of God in there, not only was the word of God attacked during the time of the supremacy of the papacy, but it was also attacked during the time of the French Revolution, who was, as inspiration tells us, a legitimate reaction against hypocritical Christianity that existed for 1,260 years. And so, in light of that now, we go into verse 15. We go to verse 15, and as we go there, we pray, Father in heaven, illuminate our minds, strengthen our hearts, give us wisdom and understanding, draw us ever closer to you, and cause us to live in harmony with you as we study your word. Give us deeper insight as we pray. In Jesus Christ. So notice, if we're doing...
Brother Akeem, can you speak up a little louder because the background could interfere with some of your words.
Okay,
so if
you
can speak up a little louder.
Okay, how about this? Does this work? Okay, I hope this works. Okay.
I'm trying to hear, listen.
Okay. All right, can you give me just a few moments? I have an idea of what I can do. I'll put on some headphones so that you guys can hear me. So give me probably just 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm going to just play this song. And
okay.
And sister and brother, I'm going to play a song while he get that ready. And
okay.
All right, so as we go in, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, bless our time together as we study the scriptures in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So the logical conclusion is, if from Revelation chapter 11, let's say from verse 2 onward, because it starts off with talking about the 42 months, in verse 2, it says, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months. This is the same idea communicated in Revelation chapter 13. Why will God, and remember we found out that the holy city is a representation of God's people. Who were the Gentiles that persecuted God's people for 42 months? Revelation 13 and verse 5 talking about the supremacy and power of the papacy and its persecution against the saints. It says in Revelation 13:5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So we realize the reason that the holy city would be tread underfoot for 42 months is because the papacy, the first beast of Revelation 13, would be ruling for that same time. And what does one have to do with the other? It says in verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell therein, and them that dwell in heaven. And notice what it says in Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, but not just to war with them, but it says to overcome them. And the result was power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So we're realizing papacy was the Gentiles, the group that was called the Gentiles in Revelation 13, in Revelation 11, 2, the Gentiles are a symbol of the papal system, a group that claimed to follow God, but was not circumcised in heart, therefore the name Gentiles, that persecuted the holy city, a symbol of God's people, during what time? The 42 months, a.k.a. the 1,260-year time period. Verse 3 says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. We found out that that is a symbol of the Word of God, the Old and New Testaments. Christ says in the book of John, chapter 5, and I believe it is verse 39, he says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And that is what a witness does. It testifies. And what is that witness that testifies? That testified during the time of the 1,260 years? It was none other than the Old and New Testaments. Those two testaments testify of God's goodness, of God's power, of his way of salvation, even in the midst of persecution from the very papal system that claimed to be following God. And who were those that gave the message of the two witnesses for the 1,260 years? Of course, it is those who stood for that word. The Reformers, the Albigenses, the Waldenses, John Huss, John Wycliffe. All of these people stood up for the 1,260 years, and they prophesied. They lifted up the word of God, the two witnesses, that prophesied all the way throughout the 1,260 years. And so in light of this, friends, what we're beginning to see now is that if we're looking at the 42 months, it would take us from 538, the 1,260 years, it would take us from 538, what? Down to history. And notice we're getting closer to a powerful waymark. What is that powerful waymark? The powerful waymark is none other than 1844, right? Because as it brings us from 538, 1,260 years later would bring us to 1798. 1798 is what? 1798 is only 46 years from 1844. And this is why the very next event covered pertains to 1844. Because it says in Revelation chapter 11, if we skip down to verse 15 now, it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now, watch this, friends. How do we know? Where are we at this time? How could I say that it's bringing us to 1844? Listen to what it says in verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. And notice this phrase. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And you remember, this is what began in 1844. When Christ transitioned into the most holy place, the judgment, or the antitypical day of atonement, began. And where does it begin? It begins covering all of those that have claimed belief in the Son of God, have followed God's way throughout history. And so where would it start? It would start from the dead, the first person that died in the name of God. And who was that? It was none other, friends, than even before Adam, it was none other than Abel. So coming down from Abel, going down throughout all those that have died, because you remember, the investigative judgment, starting in 1844, is connected to the sanctuary judgment. And you remember, the sanctuary judgment time took place when? It took place on the Day of Atonement. It took place at the ending of the year when all of the sins that had been accumulating, all of the sins of Israel, and all of the sins that were forgiven, that were accumulating in that sanctuary, were now to be blotted out. All of those sins were to be blotted out. So, but you remember, the judgment was for those who had come and confessed their sins, you see. That means it's a symbol of those who have what? Followed God, those who are claiming to be followers of God, God's professed people. That's how it was in the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament system. It was those who claimed to be followers of God, the Jews themselves, that came and asked forgiveness of sins throughout the year. Their sins were being transferred by the blood. They would come into the courtyard mentioned at the beginning of chapter 11, by the way. They come into the courtyard. And as they come into the courtyard, they bring their sacrifice. That sacrifice is sacrificed. And as it is given as a sacrifice, the blood of that animal is caught in a bowl. Now remember, before the animal is slain, the person who brought the animal would place their hands upon the animal and confess their sins, symbolically transferring the sins from themselves to the lamb or to the creature that was brought for sacrifice. And as this happened, now the lamb now had the sins upon it symbolically. Now, once that lamb's throat was slit and the blood came out into the bowl, it was a symbol now that blood was, the sin was in that blood. And what happened to the blood? The priest would take it into the sanctuary, into the holy place, and sprinkle that blood there. You can read this in the book of Leviticus. And so as the blood was sprinkled there in the holy place, that's where the sins then were accumulating, because the sin was in the blood. And so as it was transferred throughout the year, the sins of the people symbolically had accumulated in the sanctuary. You can imagine the stench probably that was there, a symbol of the defilement of sin. And so hence the sanctuary needed to be cleansed. And when was it cleansed? One day a year, called the Day of Atonement, one time a year, I should say, called the Day of Atonement, when the sins of the people that had been accumulating in the sanctuary throughout the year were blotted out, not just forgiven now, but blotted out. The sins of those the sins that had been confessed. So that means at the end of the 2300 days, when it says that the sanctuary should be cleansed, it is Day of Atonement language. That's Daniel 8:14. Day of Atonement language. So what does that mean? When it brings us to the end of the 2300-year prophecy, starting from 457 B.C. with the decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus, allowing the people of God to go back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, to go back and rebuild the city, not just to rebuild the temple, but to rebuild the law-making system of Israel, giving them their autonomy back, even though they were under the Medo-Persian Empire, giving them that autonomy. As that happened now, the decree started the 2300-year prophecy. and it would go all the way 2,300 years later, bringing us to the autumn of 1844, October 1844. Friends, and as this took place, Christ now transitioned into the most holy place. How do we know this? Because on the Day of Atonement, which was the day of judgment in Israel, the high priest, that was the only time of the year that he entered into the most holy, the Holy of Holies, to blot out the sins of Israel. In the same way, friends, we are now living since the day of, since 1844, in the antitypical Day of Atonement. And in that time now, Christ is working to blot out the sins of his professed people. And so where would that begin? It has to then begin with the dead, those who have believed in him across the ages, bringing it to the end of time. And this is what the Old Testament sanctuary service was typifying, that the believers in God, the professors of the faith throughout the ages that had confessed their sins accumulating in the sanctuary across thousands of years, those sins now were to be obliterated. But it had to start with the dead. Hence it says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. That's one hint that we know now that verse 18 has brought us to 1844. Gone throughout the, chapter 11 has taken us throughout the 1,260 years of papal supremacy and persecution, and brought us down to 1844. How do we know? The time of the dead, that they should be judged. That's one clue. But there's an even more startling clue. It says, continuing, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now watch this. It says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. Now notice that the temple of God was opened in heaven. This is one of the other ways that we know that there's an actual sanctuary in heaven. Notice, it says the temple of God, which is heaven, was open. It doesn't say that. Rather, it says the temple of God was opened in heaven. So there is a temple in heaven. Heaven is not the temple. Or I should say, the temple is part of heaven. But the temple is not heaven, friends. I hope that distinction is clear. What I'm trying to bring out is that there's a sanctuary in heaven. Many people try to say that, yeah, there's a temple up there, but the temple is heaven. There's no literal sanctuary up there. But according to verse 19, no, there's a temple of God in heaven. And when the temple of God in heaven was opened, notice what it says, and there was seen a temple, in his temple, the ark of his testament. Now, friends, that is the greatest key that reveals to us that we have transitioned into the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. Why? Because in the earthly sanctuary, the place where the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Testament, Ten Commandments, was found, was only in the Holy of Holies, in the most holy place. That's how we know now, from verses 15 to 19, it has brought us to the time of 1844, the time when Jesus transitioned from the holy place during the 1,260 years, or even from the time he left earth and he ascended to the holy place. But right after that, friends, almost 2,000 years, it brings us to what? It brings us to the year 1844. And what happened then? Christ transitioned. There came a point when Christ transitioned into the Holy of Holies. And how do we know that? The dead were being judged. And we know that judgment is connected with the Day of Atonement. And not only that, but it says the temple of God in heaven was, temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of his Testament. That's the Ark of the Covenant. So now we know we're dealing with the most holy place, because this article was in the most holy place. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So friends, I pray that this makes sense. What we're seeing here is that Revelation chapter 11 is taking us throughout the time that the papacy rose, that it persecuted God's people, the time frame in which it rose, 1,260 years. What interrupted its reign? The French Revolution. And then taking us beyond 1798, during the time of the French Revolution, I believe 1793 to 1798 and a little bit beyond that, all the way to 1844, the time when Christ transitioned. So it takes us through the time when Christ was in the holy place, during the time of the papacy's reign on earth, eclipsing what he was doing in heaven. But praise God for the reformers and those that held on to the word to bring to light that Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And then it brings us down to 1844, the time when the judgment had begun. Not by coincidence, the judgment, the law is the very standard of the judgment. Hence, not by coincidence in verse 19, the law is revealed. The Ark of the Covenant is revealed. Friends, this is so powerful. It is so powerful. I want to actually read to you guys. Some of you guys have probably read this already, but I want to read to you a statement from some points from early writings. And you could actually, and here's where we're going to find out what happened during the time of the transition from the holy place to the most holy. All right? I want to show you this. This is really deep. This is what it says here. The chapter is in early writings is chapter 10, and it is called the end of the 2300 days. Now, what did Ellen White see at the end of the 2300 days? All right? So the transition is about to take place. But what did she see? I saw a throne, and on it sat the Father and the Son. I gazed on Jesus' countenance. And friends, this is powerful, because what we're seeing here, you remember, when we studied chapter 11, we saw, actually, there was a time when we studied chapters 4 and 5. In chapters 4, God is literally sitting on a throne, and Jesus enters. He's just coming from earth, and he enters as though, how do we know he's coming from earth? He enters as a lamb that had just been slain. And so we see the Father on a throne holding a scroll in his hand with seven seals, and Christ takes it. That's Christ entering into the holy place, and we see the Father on a throne. So in other words, for the 1,260 years, it's not just that the Father has a throne in the holy place. Friends, he was seated and enthroned. He was seated on a throne in the holy place as well, not just the most holy. And this is what we're seeing here. How do we know that? We'll see here in the reading. I saw a throne, and on it sat the Father and the Son. I gazed on Jesus' countenance and admired his lovely person. The Father's person I could not behold, for a cloud of glorious light covered him. Now, this is a fascinating point that we'll see here. I asked Jesus if his Father had a form like himself. He said he had, but I could not behold it, for, said he, if you should once behold the glory of his person, you would cease to exist. That's crazy. That's how powerful the very image, the very person of God the Father is. And Christ is the same way, but he veiled his glory, you see, so we can see him. She said, if you should once behold the glory of his person, you would cease to exist. Before the throne, I saw the Advent people. So this is coming up on the time of 1844. The Millerites were Adventists. They weren't Seventh-day Adventists, but they were Adventists, people awaiting the coming of the Lord. So she's seeing their experience, as we saw in chapter 10, you remember, right? The experience of those who tasted the sweet message of Christ's soon return, but then when the day had come, Christ did not come. And what happened? That which was sweet in their mouth, that message that was sweet in their mouth became bitter in their stomachs. When they digested the fact that Jesus was not supposed to come on that day, different event that had taken place, his transition from the holy to the most holy. It says, before the throne I saw the Advent people, the church, and the world. I saw two companies. One bowed down before the throne, deeply interested, while the other stood uninterested and careless. Those who were bowed before the throne would offer up their prayers and look to Jesus. Then he would look to his Father and appear to be pleading with him. A light would come from the Father to the Son and from the Son to the praying company. Then I saw an exceeding bright light come from the Father to the Son, and from the Son it waved over the people before the throne. But few would receive the great light. Many came out from under it and immediately resisted it. Others were careless and did not cherish the light, and it moved off from them. Some cherished it and went and bowed down with the little praying company. This company all received the light and rejoiced in it, and their countenance shone with its glory. We're going to see that that is the light that Christ, that something was coming in 1844, in October 22nd, 1844, as they were anticipating. It says, I saw the Father rise from the throne. Now watch this, friends. He rose from the throne and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of Holies within the veil and sit down. So you see what was getting ready to happen? Why would the Father get up and begin to transition to the Holy of Holies? Because, friends, 1844 was approaching. It hadn't come just yet, but it was approaching. In light of that, October 22nd, 1844, approaching, the Father rose up, got on a chariot, and rode into the Holy of Holies. It says, then Jesus rose up from the throne, and most of those who were bowed down arose with him. I did not see one ray of light pass from Jesus to the careless multitude after he arose, and they were left in perfect darkness. That's those who rejected the Millerite message, the Advent message. Those who arose with Jesus kept their eyes fixed on him as he left the throne and led them out a little way. Then he raised his right arm, and we heard his lovely voice saying, wait here. I am going to my Father to receive what? The kingdom. That's why it says in verse 15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. It says, wait here. I am going to my Father to receive the kingdom. Keep your garments spotless, and in a little while I will return from the wedding and receive you to myself. Then a cloudy chariot with wheels, and remember this in Daniel, then a cloudy chariot with wheels like flaming fire surrounded by angels came where Jesus was. You see this? This should remind you of Daniel because it's a depiction of Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7 and verse 13, where it says the following. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. This is what the Millerites missed. They thought that Christ was coming in clouds to the earth, but no, he was coming to the Ancient of Days. And where did the Ancient of Days go according to what we just read? He went into the most holy place. So Christ was going there, transitioning his ministry to its last phase. And they brought him near, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. All right, so let's go back now to the reading. It says, then a cloudy chariot with wheels of fire, wheels like flaming fire, surrounded by angels, came to where Jesus was. He stepped into the chariot and was borne to the holiest. You see, where the Father sat. That's where the Ancient of Days was. There I beheld Jesus, a great high priest, standing before the Father. On the hem of his garment was a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, the very things that the priest wore on the Day of Atonement. Those who rose up with Jesus would send up their faith to him in the holiest. That's in the most holy. And pray, my Father, give us thy spirit. Then Jesus would breathe upon them the Holy Ghost. In that breath was light, power, and much love, joy, and peace. Now, what happened to those who rejected this message? You see, this is showing that the group their eyes on Jesus after the great disappointment, they went through the great disappointment, but as they kept their eyes upon Jesus, Jesus breathed on them. And what happened? In that breath was light, you see. It says, in that breath was light, power, and much love, joy, and peace. Light? What is that a symbol of? Truth. That's what happened after 1844. According to Revelation chapter 10 and 11, 10 verse 11, this is why the message came to those who experienced the disappointment. Arise and you must prophesy again. Because what? More light was revealed concerning the disappointment. That Jesus was not coming to the earth, but that he was coming to the Holy of Holies, where the Father dwelt, to do the last phase of his ministry. And friends, this is powerful. Now, what happened to those who chose to reject that message? It says, I turned to look at the company who were still bowed before the throne, that is, in the holy place. They did not know that Jesus had left it. Satan appeared to be by the throne, trying to carry on the work of God, That's why the majority of Christianity, they are in the courtyard and in the holy place. There is a focus that must be had, friends, on the articles in the courtyard and what they symbolize, which is the cross and baptism. The cross penetrates every part of the sanctuary. The shadow of it pierces into the holy and the most holy. You cannot preach the most holy place without the message of the cross. We can never say that the cross has lost its importance in light of us now being most holy place Christians as Seventh-day Adventists. And that is what has happened. That is an extreme which many Seventh-day Adventists have come to. They have come to a point where they say, you know what? We're most holy place Christians. The courtyard is for those people who rejected the message. And that is true in part. The majority of Christianity is still in the courtyard and in the holy place, friends. What do I mean by that? Many of them, they never go beyond the message of the cross, or they can never go in the sense of seeing the cross connected Christ is doing now. So they stay on this subject of the cross and baptism. And that's it. You receive Christ, you're baptized, and that's it. That's why we have this understanding now of what? Once saved, always saved. Because if you then leave out the place where fewer Christians go, that is into the holy place, you begin to see that these articles in the holy place represent that you have to go beyond the courtyard to now allowing the cross, the self-sacrificing principle of the cross, to be manifested in the life. How so? In the holy place, we have the altar of incense, which is a symbol, according to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, is a symbol of prayer, you see. So prayer, the prayers of the saints, do we have a vibrant prayer life? That's why in chapter 11, verse 1, notice what the angel told John to measure. He told him to measure the altar. That is the altar of incense. How so? Measuring the prayer life of the saints. Are we spending time with God in prayer? So the altar of incense represents that, speaking to God. But are we also spending time partaking of the showbread, table of showbread, a symbol of the bread of life, the word of God? So not only are we to be spending time in prayer, but we are to be spending time in the word of God, God speaking to us. And then not only that, but we are to become lights to the world of what we have received in our devotional time with God. What is that? The lampstand. The lampstand giving light to the sanctuary itself, you see. Friends, this is powerful. So what this means is that after you've accepted Christ's sacrifice, after you have then made a public declaration of that acceptance by baptism, what must happen? You must go on to a sanctified life, a life filled with prayer, a life filled with devotion, a life filled with the study of God's word, a life filled with witnessing. And friends, few Christians go forward to do that. But that's still holy place. That's still courtyard and holy place, which is where the majority of Christendom is today. They have not allowed the cross to lead them all the way into the most holy. And that is what we are, friends. The true Seventh-day Adventist never turns away from the cross, but he looks at its shadow as the sun begins to set upon this world in light of the second coming of Christ. As the sun begins to set on this world, as the end approaches, the shadow of the cross, which is symbolized in the altar of burnt offering, that shadow begins to go into the door, into the veil of the holy place, pierces through that veil into the most holy, and the blood begins to touch the very Ark of the Covenant, which is what the priest actually did on the Day of Atonement. He came to the altar, and he actually sprinkled there as well the blood. And so, friends, what we're coming to a realization of is that the Seventh-day Adventist must be one, not that says the cross is past history. We don't need to worry about that. No. We must identify that the cross is the centrality and foundation of our faith, but we must allow its shadow to take us where Jesus is. That a crucified Savior stands in the most holy place before the mercy seat and the law, showing us that God, law and the ark and the mercy seat shows us that God is one who is justice and mercy combined. The plan of redemption is justice and mercy combined. That is why in the mercy seat, how did God have mercy upon man? Friends, he had mercy upon man in giving him a second probation through the sacrifice of the Son of God. This is why in the mercy seat, we see the cross. So friends, but how are we distinguished from the world now, from the rest of the Christian world, in that not only do we hold on to the cross, but we realize that Christ died because there was a law that was violated, a law that was broken, the Ten Commandments, and God's work through taking us through the courtyard, bringing us to the cross, taking us through baptism, a public declaration that we have accepted the cross and its self-sacrificing principle, taking us beyond there now to a devotional life of Bible study, prayer, and witnessing, a life of self-sacrifice to help others. God then, through that work of the courtyard and the holy place, begins to reform our characters to such an extent that it begins to manifest the very law itself. Therefore, the Christian then begins to exhibit the most holy place experience. The law is restored in his life or her life, and God is therefore glorified. Now, what happened to those Christians who did not go on after the disappointment? They remained in the holy place, and what happened there? Satan appeared to be by the throne, trying to carry on the work of God. I saw them look up to the throne and pray, Father, give us thy spirit. So those people who rejected this message, friends, those who rejected the message and the explanation for it, friends, those people thought they were still talking to God. That's crazy. Said Satan, what would Satan then do when they prayed? They said, Father, give us thy spirit. Satan would then breathe upon them an unholy influence. In it there was light. Yeah, there was light and much power, but no sweet love, joy, and peace. Satan's object was to keep them deceived and to draw back and deceive God's children. Hence, they would never go forward to receive the most holy place experience. And that's why when you look at the great disappointment, some call it the great cleansing. Why? Because there were hundreds of thousands of Christians. Well, I would say there were tens of thousands of Christians in North America at that time that were moving with the Millerite movement before October 22nd, 1844. But many of them were moving in fear. And so when the disappointment came, it revealed that they were operating by fear and not by faith. And so when Christ did not come, as expected, rather than going back to the scriptures, friends, what did they do? They left the movement. Many other movements actually formed. Fractured movements formed as a result. But there were 50 faithful that went forth and said, no, we know we got the date right. We know that October 22nd, 1844 was the end of the 2300 years. And then they came to realize that we got the event wrong, not the date. And they continued in the light, realizing that there was a heavenly sanctuary, realizing that Christ had now entered into the last phase of his ministry. This is what Revelation 11, 15 through 19 is revealing to us. The opening to the most holy place. This is what early writings chapter 10 is actually speaking of. The time just before 1844, during 1844, and what followed 1844. That there were some who received the truth and some who rejected it. Some who followed Christ and some who did not. And friends, I pray that today, when many are beginning to doubt, when many are beginning to doubt this message, that you will hold on to it. Many are beginning to doubt the sanctuary. It's like what my friend told me. He sent me a message of a statement that C.D. Brooks once said. And he said it this way. He said, this was a quote from him in one of his messages before he passed. He said, we've got to a point where, in the past, we used to defend Adventism to non-Adventists. Now we got to defend Adventism to Seventh-day Adventists. So I'll read that to you again. We've got to a point where in the past we used to defend Adventism to non-Adventists, right? Now we got to defend Adventism to Seventh-day Adventists. Why? Because many Seventh-day Adventists are beginning to doubt. They're beginning to doubt that we have really been given a message. They're beginning to doubt the prophecies. They're beginning to doubt that there's even ever going to be a Sunday law, let alone the reality of a heavenly sanctuary. Those things don't exist, many Adventists are beginning to say now. And they're beginning to leave Adventism. Some are staying, but their faith has wavered. And God sees them and he loves them. And we must pray. But friends, it is a sad situation when the very plain truths that we have been given, one, we are not able to explain them, and even when we are, that people will not receive it. Who will want standing among us? This will be happening more and more as time goes forward. My prayer for us today is that that will not be us, but that we will stand faithful until the end. Father in heaven, I pray that these things made sense. Lord, guide us, strengthen us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and do in us, Lord, that which we cannot do for ourselves. Save us, Lord. And establish our mind intellectually and spiritually is the ceiling. To be settled intellectually and spiritually, that is the whole man impacted, so that we will not be shaken out. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message. And brothers and sisters, as Brother Akeem, Pastor Akeem, have brought this message to us, many of you may want to know about that sanctuary. I believe, Brother Akeem, is it in Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9, if my sisters and brother want to read about it?
Yes.
Is it Exodus 25?
Yes. Exodus 25, yes. Verses 8 and 9.
8 and 9. If you like to read when he said that this pattern, the sanctuary that Moses built here on earth, God said, make this sanctuary like the pattern in heaven. Read it in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and verse 9. You can read it for yourself. The Bible tells us we have to go and search these scriptures for ourselves. Don't listen to man, but if man give you the word, go search it out. So now, brothers and sisters, we want to thank you for joining us tonight as we have heard the word of God. Continue to pray and let the Lord lead us and bless us. And we're going to play this song. May God bless you and give you peace tonight and rest. And we'll see you on Thursday. Amen.